Juno Afternoon is made possible with support from Hanson Gress, delivering IT support to local businesses for over 15 years. I'm your host today, Shelley Delaney, and my first guests are Colleen James and Richard Carstensen. Colleen, you're the coordinator of Native and Rural, you're the Native and Rural Student Center at UAS.
Yes.
Yeah, and Richard is a naturalist who is this week's Evening at Egan presenter. So welcome both of you to Juno Afternoon.
Goodness cheese.
And Colleen, we're going to start with you. You've got some stuff going on, quite a lot, actually, really interesting events related to Native American History Month. So please tell us all about it.
Thank you. So I just, you know, continuing on talking about Evening at Egan's, we've got beautiful presenters. Richard is going to talk here in a moment about the Ak and Taku Ani, the Natural History of Resilience. Following that, on November 16th, we have Respecting Our Ancestors with Bob Sam. He's our Tlingit storyteller, one of our many talented Tlingit storytellers, and UAS visiting scholar. And then finally, on November 30th, we have Princess Dazrie Johnson. She's the creative producer for Molly of Denali, which is a new PBS kids show coming out. We have an opportunity, Juno, to come and mingle with some of the finest here in Alaska. So please join us. All of our Evening at Egan's are free and open to the public. Also, we have our events on campus during the day every Friday in the Native and Rural Student Center, which is located in the Morant Building. Right below the cafeteria, we have Form Line Fridays from 1 to 2 p.m. And if you have any kind of clothing like a T-shirt or a hoodie, you're welcome to bring it. And we can put some really cool Form Line design by stencils that were donated from by artists like Wayne Price, Lance Twitchell, Lyle James, Davina Drones. And it's a good time. We'll supply all the paint and paintbrushes and spray paint. You just bring your clothing and your exciting energy, and we're happy to work with you. We also have traditional games hosted at the University Rec Center Saturday, November 17th from 12 to 3. It's open to the public. We'll have demonstrations of the Native Youth Olympics, different events within the Native Youth Olympics, and then the public will have an opportunity to practice. And then finally, November 29th, 5:30 to 7:30 in Egan Room 109, we have a free Tlingit lesson with Lance Twitchell, and we'll start the time with student presentations in his intermediate class, and then we'll get to sample his advanced Tlingit class. So for people who are beginners and intermediates, they get to experience what his advanced class is going to be like. So come and join us.
Oh, that sounds great. One more time, when and where is Formline Fridays?
That's every Friday from 1 to 2 in the Native Rural Student Center. It's located in the Morant Building right below the cafeteria.
And where can we find out more information? Or where can we, is there anywhere we can go online to get all of this information if we missed something?
UAS.alaska.edu, and all of our events are on the campus event calendar. Thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you. That is quite a lineup of activities for the month, and they all sound terrific. And you coordinated all of this.
I'm part of the team that coordinated. Well,
thank you for your work. And now turning to Richard, is there anything else you want to add?
No.
Okay. Turning to Richard Carstensen, naturalist, and this week's Evening at Egan presenter. The title of your talk is Ak and Taku Ani, the Natural History of Resilience. Tell us a bit, what does that refer to?
Well, I guess it comes out of a decade or so of working closely with groups like Gold Belt Heritage and Sea Alaska Heritage and bringing a naturalist perspective to the cultural history programs that they do for students and for teacher recertification classes. And Colleen asked if I would do a little of that for our local Kwans, the Ak and Taku Kwans. and add the naturalist perspective to that. And I know resilience is very important to Colleen, and I was intrigued by that because although my career has kind of tiptoed around the edges of resilience, I've never really addressed it head on in a talk. So I'm taking the opportunity to think about what does it mean? Generally, lately, when we talk about resilience, we're thinking of it in cultural terms. Mm-hmm. And I'll do a little of that, but I'm also going to think about what does it mean ecologically. You know.
And so you said you collaborated with Gold Belt Heritage Foundation and Sea Alaska Heritage Institute. Was it to do research for this talk or in general?
Those are longstanding relations between Discovery Southeast, my natural history education group, and those two organizations. And I'm just going to bring some of the insights from those years of working with those groups.
Did they do anything specifically to help guide what you put together for your presentation on Friday?
No, this is more just... Yeah.
They've just been helping
trying to address Colleen's question about Akontaku Kwans. It actually does come out a little bit of the last class I did for Sea Alaska Heritage. I did a sort of sweeping overview of the history of Akontaku Kwans, so we'll be repeating some of that. For example, what does glacial history have to do with that?
Can you tell us a little bit about what glacial history does have to do with that?
Well, it's interesting that in Glacier Bay, some folks like Greg Strevler and Wayne Howell have worked with elders in Huna to marry what they know from oral histories with what glaciologists have learned about glacial advance and recession. And yet we live in just as spectacular a place with just as much glacial history, but I haven't really seen a strong attempt to pull that together. So like when the Taku Glacier advanced and dammed Taku Inlet, it backwatered a lake all the way into Canada. Mm. And that was a huge deal for Taku Kwan. And there's stories about that in their traditions and in Akwan stories. And to try to match that with what glaciologists like Roman Motika have told us about that event is really interesting. Just one example.
One of the questions that you ask or attempt to answer is how village sites were chosen in this area of many, many islands and sea level and climate fluctuations. I've heard that when Juneau, like what we refer to as like downtown Juneau, was built or planned, the settlers were advised putting it against where it is today. Is that true?
I hadn't heard exactly that, but it's not the most logical place to be. If you look at where the villages were, the standout best place is out at Anshkatsu, Nexus Town, that we call Akrek today. Better climate, better canoe beach, in every way, closer to resources. We are here because of gold back mm-hmm. up in the valley, and we're also here because of the low quality of that gold that required 60 years to extract. And if it had been a typical gold town, it'd be boom and bust, and we'd have been out of here in 10 years. So we're kind of locked into a kind of a silly place to live, actually.
And another interesting question that you attempt to answer along those same lines, why do we live here, and how can we pass along a viable future for tomorrow's Southeast Alaskans?
Yeah, and that goes back to Colleen's question about resilience. Is what are the appropriate resources for us to use? Think about fish. You have at one extreme pink salmon that crank out babies really fast and are probably the single most appropriate fish for us to use, and then at the other extreme, a yellow-eye rockfish that's probably older than we are. So another big question in relation to resilience is longevity. How long do things live?
And we've got a couple of photographs on the website here. Can you see those, Richard?
Yeah.
What are we looking at?
That is the old Yaxte pole at Anshkaltsu, Nexus Town, out at Akrek. And if you look closely at it, and if folks could bring that up on your website, you'll see holes in the back of Raven. Those are sapsucker holes. And that's interesting if you know the story of that pole. It has to do with Raven fooling a king salmon into coming ashore and sending his little bird helpers out into the forest to gather skunk cabbage to wrap it in. But when they come back, he's eaten the whole salmon, and he's lying there belching. So I think that kind of raises questions about one of those little birds was woodpecker, and it makes me wonder about the holes in the back of Raven.
Getting back at Raven.
Yeah.
And we've got another one here. Folks can go online to ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon to see these pictures. And what are we looking at here? This is a map.
Well, another part of what I want to talk about is what we can learn about Akontaku Ani from the journals of early explorers. Within a year of the transfer from Russia to the United States, a guy named Richard Meade came through on the steamship Saginaw. And unlike the other early steamship commanders, he was really into maps. And this is the first useful map we have of the Akontaku area. It shows a village on Hootsnuu, Admiralty Island, and it's named Auk Bay there, which has caused a lot of confusion because now Auk Bay is on the mainland. But back then it had a different name.
And the last one here.
Oh, yeah. Dora Spalding was daughter of Jenny Auk Kwan, and she married Vic Spalding of Spalding Meadows. And in the distance in this photo, you can see the Auk Nu Bluff where the fort was. In the foreground is a magnificent garden on what's probably a raised marine beach, but it's higher than a little ice age beach. So it's probably a 9,000 or more year old surface.
Wow. How old's the photograph?
I don't have an exact date for that photograph, but I would just guess the early decades of the 1900s.
Very interesting. Thank you for submitting those. Will they be in your presentation as well?
Yes.
Excellent. So Evening at Egan is tomorrow night, 7 p.m., UAS Egan Library. Richard Carstensen is the speaker, and sounds like it's going to be very interesting. I can't make it to the talk tomorrow night. Is there anywhere else I might be able to see your talk?
Yes. They've been great about archiving these, and you can go online and stream any of the Evening at Egan's. And in addition, whenever I give a talk these days, I turn it into a narrated slideshow and post it to Vimeo. So you'll be able to find that through the Discovery website, which is junonature.discoverysoutheast.org.
Great. I think I need to go back and watch some of those so I can brush up on my own natural history and cultural history of the area. And Colleen, do you think he's going to answer your questions tomorrow night?
I think so. And one of the things that I do want to say, and I feel really bad that I didn't say it in the beginning, was just I want to say thank you to the Auk and the Taku people. UAS campus sits on the Auk, on Auk land. So I'm really excited. And part of the reason for the resilience is this is Native History Month. And I thought, what better way to shine a light on our resilience of our Native people, the Auk and the Taku. They've been here for thousands of years, and he is going to put another layer of information into all of our hands to explore. So, gunashchis for that, Richard.
And gunashchis to both of you for being here today and telling us all about that. Anything else that either of you would like to add?
Join us.
Come on out tomorrow night, Friday, 7 p.m., UAS Egan Library.